Word of God will flow freely in this place, and the name of the Lord shall be glorified. Thank you because I've answered. In Jesus' name we pray. All right. On Thursday, we were sharing and we're talking about training and restraining. And I like to finish that. Well, I can't really finish it, but I like to round up at a point at least today. We're talking about training and restraining. And we took our text from 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, all scriptures is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. 17, God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good works. Okay, and we said to train can be defined as making proficient by instruction and practice. Training can simply be defined as making proficient, that is, competent in an act by instruction and by practice. And then said, to restrain means to hold back from an action or to keep in check or to put under control. Now, I'm just trying to do a recap of what we said on Thursday. Now, the reason God gave us his written word is basically that we may know him. And not only did he give us his word, he also gave us the fivefold ministry under which you have the pastors and the teachers for the purpose of expanding the word of God and teaching us the word of God. The Bible says clearly to us in Daniel chapter 11 verse 32, the second part of it, it says, but the people who know their God shall be strong and they shall carry out great exploits. The people that know their God. And I was going with Pastor yesterday after that teaching on Thursday, and it was expanding the thing some more to me. I wish I had a lot of time. Maybe I'll take you through all that too, but I'm sure one day we'll do that for you. Now, listen, that the people, the same word, the same Greek word, know, used as know their God. The same Greek word is the same word used in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, which says, and Adam knew his wife. Same Greek word. Now, so when God is saying, they that know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits, he's talking about an intimate understanding of who God is. A deep relationship. The Bible says, a Christian that is joined to God is one spirit with God. So what God is expecting, you know, and like I said, when I was sharing with my pastor yesterday when we were going somewhere, he said, just like a man and a woman must have an intimate relationship to bring forth, the same way you have to have an intimate relationship with God before you can bring forth. But people don't want to have that intimate relationship and they still want to bring forth. Then they struggle, they put gimmicks, they put tricks and all the rest into it, and nothing really happens. Now, so you and I need to understand that they that know their God, there's a need for us. And that's what we're talking about this Sunday morning. Training and restraining. There's a need to develop ourselves to the point where we have a good understanding of what God is doing at every particular time in our lives. So when we talk about knowing God, we're not talking about a casual stuff. It's not a casual thing. It's not a casual thing at all. It is a gradual. And that's why I was going to do so at the Sunday school department today. You don't have to be in a hurry. We're coming back next Sunday. Amen. So when you're teaching Sunday school class, don't rush it. We're coming back next Sunday. And every Sunday we're going to keep coming back until Jesus comes back or we go to be with him. Praise the Lord. So it's a gradual and a continuous teaching to bring intimacy of the word of God into our lives. Because there is no other way to get close to God, except by the words that he has written and given unto us. In the book of John chapter 8, 31 and 32, when Jesus was around, Jesus said to those Jews in John 8, 31, and Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, he said, if you abide in my word and If you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Then it says, to say, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Shall make you free. It says, make you free. Now, if the truth you don't know is bigger than you, once there's a truth and you don't know it, it is bigger than you. One of my friends, I don't know whether I shared it before, his pastor was traveling to the UK for the first time. And then he was in the aircraft. And then he went from Lagos to London. And then they brought things to him, water. He said, nope. They asked him tea. He said, nope. They asked him for food. He said, nope. Everything they bring, he was saying, nope, 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 nope. And then when he got to the UK, he told his friend, he said, all these white people, they think they are smart. They want to finish the little money I have in my pocket inside the plate before I come down. So his friend told him, he said, you paid for it already. It's part of your ticket. So when he was going back to Nigeria, they said, tea or coffee? He said, both. Give me the two. Give me the two. Now I'll finish my money. So the truth you don't know, we're laughing, but the same thing happens at spiritual level too. The truth you don't know is bigger than you. And there's nothing you can do about it. And that's why it is crucial that everybody that must make appreciable progress must know the truth about the Word of God. I was so excited sitting in one of the Sunday school classes today. And the teacher was trying to really explain to the students the nature of God. And was taking it from the perspective of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that was deep teaching. Now, we need to get ourselves to that level where we sit under deep teaching and we understand what God is trying to say. Now, Thursday we started by talking about areas where you need to train yourself and also restrain yourself. And then we spoke about the need to know that we're a new creation. We need to know that. Everybody that has given his or her life to Christ, he must get dawn upon your spirit, ma'am, that I'm a new creation. Amen. Amen. Now, and what that does to you is that you must come to the place of understanding that Christ dwells on the inside of me. Somewhere in the book of Romans, I think chapter 8, verse 11, says, the same spirit, if the same spirit that dwells, that raised Christ, I say the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you. It's that same spirit that raised Jesus. It lives on the inside of you now. I think it's Romans 8, 11. Now, you need to understand that. And that potent power cannot be on the inside of you and then you are living an impotent life. It is not the best. It is not the best. So we talk about understanding the fact that we're a new creation. We also spoke, the second thing we spoke about, that there's a need to develop ourselves. We must grow spiritually. No parent get excited about children that they have who is not growing. And I'm sure our Heavenly Father too will not be too excited that he has children who are not growing spiritually. So we need to do something about that. And the only way you can grow is by spending time in the Word of God. Just like food will make your body grow, what will make your spirit grow is the Word of God. Now, I want to add one more thing to that, just this Sunday morning. And what I want to add to that is that there's the only way to walk with God is by faith. It's by faith. There's no other way. If you want to relate with God, the Bible tells us in John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is what? A spirit. It's a spirit. And anyone that wants to worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 tells us, he says, for we, now that you are born again, he says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews 11:6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is what? A rewarder of them, of those who what? Diligently seek him. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible. So faith is, walking by faith is something you must develop yourself to understand how it works. Walking by faith is something you must train yourself to understand how it works, because without that, you can't please God. Praise the Lord. Now, the passage above said it. I didn't say it. He said, we walk by faith and not by sight. So anyone who is born again, you do not have a choice. It is not a choice thing. It is not either this or that. It is something you must begin to learn. It was something you must begin to train yourself. Because we I don't know when you got born again, but I got born again at the age of 29, 30 years ago. You know? And I've lived my life walking by sight. You need to see it. You need to taste it. It must, before you accept it. Now, the Bible now said, after I got born again, that I need to walk by faith and no longer by sight. So a whole lot of training starts all over again to understand how it works. Now, the Bible tells us in four different places that if you have actually given your life to Christ, God has declared you righteous, or you have been justified. And if you're a just person or a righteous person, you don't have a choice than to walk by faith. Four scriptures. Hebrews 10:38, it says, now the just shall live by faith. Now the just or the righteous shall live by faith. He said, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Galatians 3:13 says almost the same thing. Galatians 3:11 says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, in evident, for the just again shall live how? By faith. How many just people are here? Can I see your hands up? Now, you have no choice than to live how? I didn't hear you. By faith. Now, Romans 1:17, Paul was writing, and it says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, moving from one level of faith to another level of faith, as it is written, quoting from the Old Testament, the just shall again live how? By faith. Habakkuk, where he quoted from, Habakkuk, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 4, it says, Habakkuk 2, 4, it says, behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Praise the Lord. So in evidence, there's no escaping. People have come to me and they say, well, Pastor, is there no other way? No, there's no other way. You must learn how it works. And I'll give you three quick reasons before I go on why you must learn how it works. Firstly, there are some things that other people cannot help you do in life. On the physical. Do you understand that? For example, I can't help you eat. You can't say to me, oh, Pastor Fash, I'm so busy. I need to finish this assignment. I need to submit it by 2 o'clock today. I'm very hungry. Please eat for me. Is it possible? I can't do that for you. You know, you can't be pressed wanting to go to the bathroom and they say, oh, I'm so busy. I need to finish what I'm doing now. Can you go to the bathroom for me? No, I can't. There's some things on the physical. Even your wife, no matter, or your husband, no matter how much they love you, there are some things they can't do for you. And on the spiritual, this is one of it. I can't have faith for you. But when you have a faith for something, I can join my faith with your faith to get that thing done. But I can't have faith for you on some issues. Now, that's first. The second reason why you need to understand how faith works. You know, if you don't master how to lift a weight that is 10 kg or 10 pounds, when an issue that needs the lifting of 100 pounds arises, you can't lift it because you have not mastered how to lift 10 kg. So it's a gradual procedure. You learn how to lift 10 kg, then you move to learn how to lift 20, then you learn how to move to 30, and then you move on and on and on like that. So that when the issue that needs lifting up 100 kg comes, at least because you have lifted 70 or 80, you can attempt it. But if it lasts, the best weight you've ever carried is 10, and an issue of 100 comes up, there's nothing you can do. And faith is like that. Faith is like that. If you have not trusted God for $100, when the need for $2,000 arises, forget it. There's not much you can do unless God shows you mercy. Praise the Lord. And the third reason why you must learn how faith works is if you don't learn how to swim where you are drowning, you must have mastered how to swim before you start drowning. If not, you're gone. That's why I don't go near water. I don't know how to swim. So when they're playing near water, I don't go close. I was sharing with Pastor. There was a time I went for a training somewhere in Hawaii, and they said we should come and go for whale watching. I said, where? I said, are they in a cage? We're going to stand on land and sea. He said, no, we're going to get into a big boat, and then we'll go high sea, and then the whales will be jumping up. I said, what if he jumps out of the boat? The guy said, no, it can't happen. And then it will not compound the problem. He said, I need to pay $50 for that. I said, $50 to go and commit suicide. So you don't learn how to swim when you are sinking. You learn how to swim before you get inside the water. Now, so faith is just like that too. We must learn how it works. Now, let me go further. Say, now the faith we're talking about is not human faith. People have confused that to mean the faith we're talking about. Now, that's all we're talking about. There's a human faith. Now, I've thought it wrongly too, but I'm correcting myself now. See, people have thought that if you come inside this chair, you come inside the church, nobody checked whether this chair can sustain your weight and you sat on it. They say that's faith. But that's not faith. That's not faith we're talking about. That's human faith. Everybody has it. Unbelievers have it too. You don't have to be born again to have that. Now, the difference between human faith and spiritual faith or revelation faith is that it must have the word of God, either spoken or written, as a basis. Now, sitting on a chair has no word of God that backs it up. They say because you entered a plane and you didn't ask the pilot whether I have a commercial license to fly. So because of that, you have faith. That's not faith. That's human faith. Everybody has that. No, you go to a restaurant and you eat. You don't ask them whether they're certified to cook or not. You just assume they are certified to do that. So that's human faith. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Everybody has that. We're talking about what we call biblical faith or spiritual faith or revelation faith. Now, it is not the same thing as mental assent. And that's something all believers need to watch. Mental assent looks like faith, but it's not faith. Mental assent is your head agreeing with the word of God, but no action following it. It's just like somebody comes to you. The Bible tells us in the book of Titus, I think 2:11, it says, the grace of God that makes salvation available to all men. But is all men saved? Is all men saved? No. But the grace of God that made it available, not all men are saved. You know why? And there are people who agree that truly, truly, if you give your life to Christ, you'll be saved, but they never took a step. That's mental asset. That's mental asset. A lot of people are in church who believe that by the stripes of Jesus we have been healed, but they never taken a step. Each time they're sick, they rush to their doctor. There's nothing wrong in that, but there's a higher level of healing that we should learn how it works. Because even doctors at a point, they tell you, sorry, we can't help you. And the good thing about divine healing, if you understand the works, God never give a referral. If you come to him, he solves the problem for you. But you must know how it works. Now, so when we talk about all this, we're talking about the faith that works, which is called the biblical faith. Now, it is not the same thing as hope. First Corinthians 13:13 tells us about hope, love, and faith. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, and now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three things, but the greatest of these things is love. Now, the greatest of it is love, no doubt, because our faith worketh by love, but he did not tell us that faith and hope are useless. He didn't say that. He just said the greatest is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now, we need to understand that. Now, let's go to the issues now. Now, what is faith? Faith, according to Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I don't have more time, but I'm going to try and break it down as much as I can. Now, we need to understand that the moment you are believing God for something and it is not now, you have turned it from faith to hope. Faith talks about now, and faith is in the present tense. Hope is in the future. Even though you might say you believe, but the moment you put it in the future, it is no more faith, it is hope. One of the things I like to stress to us this morning is that a lot of people have spoken, I don't know whether you heard that, they said that faith is a new Testament, is a new covenant concept, it's not in the old covenant, so it's not too relevant. Faith is all over the Bible, from the beginning, Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, all through the book of Genesis chapter 1, everything that God did was by faith. He spoke and it came to existence without even him saying it. Praise the Lord. And then, of course, after the fall of man, a lot of things went wrong. But when God picked on Abraham again, he began to teach him how to walk by faith. It's interesting. And I believe there are so many relationships that God had with Abraham that maybe perhaps was not shown in the Bible. But the one that even was shown is enough proof for us to understand and to appreciate the fact that man have to live by faith. Let me take you to Genesis chapter 15. The relationship between God and Abraham. Genesis chapter 15, I read from verse 1. Now, the Bible says that after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward." Now, see, the Bible says after these things, I want to believe that after these things that Abraham had gone through, in the sense that, look, we are supposed to live the expectation of God or the desire of God for our life, is that we live the kind of life that Adam and Eve will have lived in the Garden of Eden. A perfect relationship with God, intimate relationship with God, number one, and a situation in which all our needs are met effortlessly. So God started speaking to Abraham here. The first thing we realize that he says, the Bible says, after this thing, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham. I strongly believe that the word of the Lord that came unto Abraham was Jesus. Because let me prove that to you. In John chapter 8, verse 56. I'm still going back to that Genesis 15. In John chapter 8, verse 56, it says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my days." He was talking to the Pharisees now. He said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my days, and he saw it and was glad." Next verse. "Then the Jews said to him, 'You are yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?'" Next verse. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So he must have been talking about that relationship he had with Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 that we're reading. Now, what was the issue? In verse 2, he said, "But Abraham said, 'Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus.'" Verse 3. "Then Abraham said, 'Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, no one born in my house is my heir.'" Verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying..." Now, can I stress something there? See, you can see the word of the Lord came saying. See, faith is based on what you've seen in the word of God or what you have heard from God. It must either be written or be spoken into your heart. Because there are some things that you can exercise faith for, but it's not written directly. I'll give you an example. You're trained as a medical doctor and you want to walk and you have two options. Now, God would like to speak to you which one to go to. Because when God is speaking, he's speaking from a knowledge of past, present, and future. And he's telling you, okay, take this option. Now, sometimes the option may not be as interesting on the physical, the one you would like to take, as the one they're telling you to take. Now, so you are basing your decision to go to the option that does not look too attractive based on the word of God, which takes us back to where we started from, that now that we are Christians, we walk by faith and not by sight. Sometimes people will look at you and say, something must be wrong with you. How come you're taking this decision? How can you leave a job that will give you $1 million in a year and you want to take the one that will give you $600,000? Does that make sense? But the truth is, when we talk about sense, faith does not make physical sense. It only makes spiritual sense. Praise the Lord. So again, in verse 4, he said, then behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this Eleazar shall not be your heir, but the one who will come from your body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall your descendants be. With that, Abraham went to sleep. And he believed in the Lord, and the Bible says, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Brethren, what is it that God has said to you? There are some things that God said a year ago. There are some things he said 6 months ago. The only reason why it has not come to pass is because of your doubt and unbelief. If you hold on to the word of God and say, Father, you said it, and I believe it, it's a matter of time. It will come to pass. Praise the Lord. Now, but you see, Apostle Paul in the New Testament now helped us to understand that encounter that Abraham had with Jesus, I believe, but let me say God, with God. Now, in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, Apostle Paul expounded the thing, and he says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead, and call those things which do not exist as though they did. There are so many things that do not exist in your life, but God is calling them to existence, and you need to agree with God so that those things can work for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible says to us in, I think, 2 Corinthians 4:18, those things that are not seen, they are more real than the things that you are seeing. And so the spiritual realms is more real. And unless a man gets to the understanding of that and he operates by faith, it might be difficult for you to get what God has planned for you. So Paul was trying to explain that to us. And in verse 18, Romans 4:18, he says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. So when Abraham was relating with God, he was not relating with God based on what he can see. He was relating with God based on what God has said. He said, Eleazar shall not inherit you. The person that will inherit you shall come from your own loins. And then Abraham held on to that word. It took a while, but it came to pass. Whatever you might be going through, even though it has tarried, I say to you this morning, it shall come to pass. Amen. Can I have a bigger amen to that? Amen. Now in verse 19, now see how Abraham made it work. He said, and being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. And what was he doing? Giving glory to who? To God. Now, the Bible says that Abraham, now, Paul was trying to take us through the process that Abraham went through to get what God has promised him. Bible says that he did not consider his body. He was 100 years old. He said, neither did he consider the deadness of Sarah's body. So, I don't know how many people are here trusting God for the fruit of the womb. No matter what the doctors have said, see what the Bible is saying. Abraham was dead. Sarah's was dead. Dead and dead came together. And we still saw Isaac. Your own case, I'm sure, is not as bad as that. And I trust God that God will bring to pass that which he has spoken concerning you. Now, all that Abraham was considering was the word of God. Now, you too, I don't know your situation. Maybe you are sick in your body. Maybe you are trusting God for a financial breakthrough. Maybe you are trusting God for a job. All you need to consider is the word of God. Put your attention on it. Let it not depart from your eyes. Keep looking at it and saying, Lord, if you promise this, you can bring it to pass. In verse 20, he said, it did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Unbelief will show up. And he said, unbelief shows up because you're feeding yourself with what is not the word of God. The moment you begin to feed yourself, we had a wonderful time at the prayer meeting on Wednesday, and then we're contributing, and I said, most of the time when people hear, when you go to a doctor and the doctor tells you something is wrong with you, and they give you one very big name, you know, of the sickness, sometimes the names are very big, but it only means malaria or it means typhoid. And then you go to the internet and you Google it, and then you find out this, and then you begin to read all the symptoms. See, the moment you are doing that, you are feeding yourself with unbelief. And then when you finish reading three chapters of what the internet says, you know, you come and carry one verse of the Bible, and then you are sleeping there. And then you say, how come this is not working? No, you can't have three doses of unbelief and half a spoon of belief, and you think it will work. Praise the Lord. So the intention of God is that the Bible says that he strengthened his faith, giving glory to God. So the Bible says, verse 20 says, it did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, and it was giving glory to God. And see, what Pastor took us through this morning is just exactly what Abraham did. We confess the word of God, and we lifted up our hands and we say, Lord, I agree with what you're saying. Because what he was telling us was the word of God. And he started praising God. That's giving glory to God. That, Lord, even though I can't see the manifestation, but I believe you. That's a matter of time, it shall come to pass. Praise the Lord. Now verse 21 says, I'm being fully convinced that what God has promised, he has also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now see, this full persuasion that Abraham had helped him. Now, I hope you know that after a while, he finally got the son. He got Isaac. And then let's look at another thing that happened after he got Isaac in verse 22. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22 from verse 1. God showed up one day and he says to Abraham, he said, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Verse 2. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, so that there will be no problems, there will be no confusion. I hope you know that about that time, Abraham had another son called Ishmael. Now, because you see, if God has not clarified it, he may likely want to take Ishmael because of his love for Isaac. So God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of the Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains. I will tell you. Now look at verse 3. The Bible says, so Abraham rose up in the morning and saddled his donkey. See, it is somebody who has an intimate relationship that can wait for a child for 25 years. And after 25 years of waiting, you finally got the boy. And one day God said, go and kill this boy for me. He says, those who know God. Now listen, I thought about this thing. I said, do you know that Abraham, about two or three ways, he could have escaped if he doesn't want to do it? Can you imagine if Abraham didn't want to do it? All he needed to do was to tell Sarah, I got something to tell you this morning. And Sarah said, what is it? God just spoke to me now. And what did he say? He said, I should go and kill Isaac for him. You know, people will die that day. He was just saying, what are you talking about? I waited for this boy for these years. Kill me first before you go and kill him. Abraham could have gone back to God and said to God nicely, you see, I will have done it, but Sarah, help me back. Now, if you read the story downwards, on the way, Isaac himself said, Father, I see the firewood, I see the knife, I see the matches. Where is the sacrifice? You know what Abraham said? He said, God will provide for himself. But if Abraham was not trusting God, all these returns were saying, oh, God, I didn't know God would do it like this. Oh, Isaac, you are the sacrifice. I see Isaac dropping firewood and taking off. But he said God will provide for himself a sacrifice. And God did exactly the same thing. Now, see, this had helped Abraham. Abraham, we're talking about training and restraining. Abraham had trained himself so much to work with God that even when God says, kill this boy for me, he left the next day. He was just going. He just went all the way. Now, sometimes, let me put it this way. Sometimes the step one that God has given you that you have not done is what is hindering your step two. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The step one that God has told you to do is what is hindering the bigger miracle that God wants to do in your life. Let's look at. Let me digress and look at an example. I'm rounding. I'm coming to an end now. I don't want to say more than this one thing. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, we saw the story of Elijah there, the Tishbite. Now, Bible says, and Elisha the Tishbite, an inhabitant of Gilead, said to Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain this year's except at my word. Now, that is an act of faith. You stand before a king and you tell him there are not going to be rain in this land unless I say so. Now, but Elijah was ready to take that step of faith and he did that. Now, have you ever thought about it? Now, it's just like somebody saying there'll be no rain. You live in New Jersey as a state. And then someone says there'll be no rain in the whole of New Jersey where you even stay yourself until I say so. So what was Elijah thinking? Where will he get a source? But Elijah trusted God. He took the first step by speaking to the king, Ahab. Now, after he had done that, now God came and did his own for him. Now, look at verse 2. Verse 2 downwards. And it says, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastwards and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you will drink from that brook, and I'll command the ravens to feed you there. Now, look at that. Now, until Elijah did what God sent him to do, he was not going to tell him verse 2 and 3. He was not going to tell him. Now, some people are stuck in their walk with God because the last thing God told you, you have not done it. If Elijah has not done verse 1, he couldn't have had verse 2 and 3. Now, verse 2 and 3 looks more interesting than verse 1. I hope you understand that. You understand that? Verse 1 is something that is like putting your life at risk. But he dared Ahab, and he went and spoke to him. And after he did that, God now said, okay, let me take care of you. Now, some people are sitting down here. God is telling you to do some things for him. Something as little as preach to this person. Something as little as sow this seed. And you're not doing all that. And you're lifting up your hands and saying, Lord, do my own. Make bread available. Make water available. Exactly what we see in this place. Faith, sometimes they come step after step. So sometimes when we don't honor God with what God has said, we are limited in what we're doing. So back to that story. So we saw that Abraham had confidence to say, I will kill my child for God. But see what it says in Hebrews. Hebrews 11, 17 showed us again where Abraham stands. Hebrews 11, 17, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who have received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Next verse. Of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Verse 19, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So Abraham was, like we read in Romans chapter 4, was fully persuaded again that even if I kill this boy or sacrifice this boy to God, God has what it takes to raise him up from the dead. Now, that is training yourself to walk by faith. It's a gradual process. Like I said, if you don't learn how to move 10 pounds, you can't move 100 pounds. See where Abraham started from. God told him, come out from your brethren. Genesis chapter 12. I'll bless you. I'll make you a blessing. He came out. Verse 15. He talked to God. He said, look, you have not given me a child. Who inherit me? God says, don't worry, I'll fix it. If you go to, I think, chapter 17, God told him, circumcise all the male children in your house. The next day, he did it. Verse 22, Genesis chapter 22, he said, sacrifice this boy for me on the mountain of Asher. He went and did that. It was after that encounter. When you get back home, read that 22. It was after that, that God said to him, now I know that you fear me. Some of us are going through processes and we're not just doing too well because we can't let go the things that God has given to you. Some people are trusting God for financial breakthrough, and yet the little written instruction that God has given, pay a tenth, give me a tenth of what I give you, they're still struggling with that. And then there's so much debate. Is it in the New Testament? Is it the Old Testament? It's because you don't want to do it. Praise the Lord. Everything you want to do in the Bible, you can find a basis. The ones you want to do, you can also find a basis. It depends on what you are reading and who is interpreting it to you. Praise the Lord. Let me close with this story I read some years ago. It was a story of a woman. Maybe that will help us to strengthen our faith and begin to walk closer with God. It was a story of a woman who was in a wheelchair in her 70s. And then he came to church on a Sunday morning like this. And after the sermon, the preacher was going to be ready to pray for those who were sick in their body. And our friend wheeled her to the front. And then the pastor prayed for her and told her to get up. And then she just sat down there and said, Oh Lord, you know how weak I am. You know, I paid my tithes. I loved you when I was younger. Now see, he took, instead of walking according to the word of God, he took it back to our performance. Performance in the school of faith will not help you. That's walking by sight. When you begin to tell God, you know, when you begin to tell God, Lord, you know, I served you. I go to church every day. All those are very good, but it won't help you when it comes to receiving from God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What the Bible tells us how to receive from God, before I go back to the story, in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, take note of this passage very well. Mark 11:24, can we give that? Mark 11:24, it says, therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, now listen very well, whatever thing you ask, God is not going to give you what you ask when you pray. He says, believe that you receive them and you will have them. It is what you believe that you receive that you will have. Not what you pray, not what you said. But you have to, but when you say it and you believe it, then you will receive it. So this woman was there and said, Lord, you know, I did this, I did that. After a while, the pastor heard what she was saying, got her attention and stopped her. And said to her, you know, now he went to what you call one-on-one ministration. Now I said to the woman, do you know you are healed? You know, sometimes, and then he looked at the pastor, looked at her, says, something will be wrong somewhere here. And then the pastor said to her, let me prove to you that you are healed. So he took the Bible and opened to 1 Peter. Give us 1 Peter 2:24 on the screen. 1 Peter 2:24. So he opened the Bible to 1 Peter 2:24. And he said, and he read this to him, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now he put that on her legs. Says, see, 2,000 years ago, God settled the issue of your healing. Just like Titus 2:11 says the same thing. 2,000 years ago, God settled the issue of salvation of every man on the planet Earth. Say, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. But see, all men needs faith to key into what grace has made available before they can be saved. Now, the same thing too. Likewise, this woman needs faith to key into what grace has made available over 2,000 years ago, that ye were healed. Now, so like Pastor was teaching us, so in the moment she understood that, it's like light came from inside. She understood that, oh, if 2,000 years ago God settled this for me, now I am healed. Now, without any symptom, without anything showing the body, she lifted up her hands and began to praise God. Tallied with what God, as Pastor said this morning, you need to agree with God before you can get your miracle. Amen. And the simplest act. Now, my own definition about faith, my simplest definition of faith is acting on what you believe. There must be a corresponding action to what the Word of God has said to you before you can get your blessings. So, this woman lifted up her hands, still on the wheelchair, lifted up her hands and started praising God, and started thanking God for her healing. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. It is faith that put an evidence there that you are healed. So she lifted up her hands and started thanking God for her healing. The same thing goes, you can do for your finances. You can do for your job. You can do for your accommodation. You can do for everything. Lifted up her hands and said, thanking God. After thanking God for a while, the pastor said, now get up on your feet and run. Up she went and started running. Now see, sometimes people think that what brings your healing depends solely on the pastor. If it was that, I'm sure pastor is so generous and so nice, he will have healed everybody. But unfortunately, you need to bring your part and join with his anointing before it begins to work for you. Now sometimes, without your faith, the anointing gets you healed. But guess what happened? The devil is not stupid too. He knows pastor will not go home with you. So he'll go wait for you at the gate. And then all he does is that in the night he brings a little symptom back and he says, oh, this thing is back again. Now that's why I encourage people, please try as much as possible. I know you guys are busy in this country. But as much as possible, make yourself available for church programs. We had a wonderful time on Wednesday at the prayer meeting. This is what he was teaching us. This morning, I'd like to give us the same chance again. Two calls I'll make. Number one, I'll make a call for salvation. Because you see, unless you're born again, your faith can't work. The beginning of salvation is exercising faith in coming to know God, to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Then the second thing I'd like us to do, I know that everybody is here trusting God for one thing or the other. Two things I'd like to check on. Number one, what are you standing on? What scripture are you standing on? Are you believing God for finances? What scripture are you standing on? You're believing God for a wife? What scripture are you standing on? You're believing God for a husband? What scripture are you standing on? You can't stand floating now. You must stand on the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And then, if you have a word you are standing on, then we're going to give praise to God and just appreciate God. I say, Father, now I understand how it works. I've been confessing negatively. And then maybe I don't have more time, but let me just chip in this. Your confession too, after now, must tally with what you have believed God for. I don't know whether I understand what I'm saying. Now you're trusting God for a husband, and then you lifted up your hands in a short while now, you praise God, and then we get out of there, and then you meet your friend and say, there are no men in this country, Jare. Only God knows. Where will you find it? You just canceled all the praise you did now. Because you don't need too many men to marry. You need only one man. So whether there are men in this country or not, there's one man that God has ordained to be your husband. And because you believe God, he will show up. Shall we rise on our feet? Yeah, I don't know whether there's anybody here this morning, you want to give your life to Jesus. You hear? Or you want to rededicate your life to, you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Everybody starts on the note of accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's what we start from. You must be born again. That's what Jesus said. And it happens by grace to faith. Now, if you're here this morning, you've not given your life to Jesus, you'd like to do that, can I see your right hand up? I'd like to pray with you. Anyone here this morning? Anyone here this morning, you want to give your life to Jesus, or you want to dedicate your life to Jesus? Maybe you did it some times ago, and you're not too sure whether I did it or I didn't do it, and you want to do it again. Can I see your right hand up? Okay, if there's nobody, my time is fast spent. Okay, can I have the choir here? I'm not a good singer. Now, listen. I'd like to do this in the remaining time I have, about 5 or 6 minutes. See, number one thing you need to understand, what scripture are you standing on? Now, all of us here, we're believing God for one thing or the other. It might be sickness in your body, it doesn't really matter. It might be finances, it might be healing, it might be a job, it might be accommodation. Now, I went to a place and I went to preach. The devil may be harassing you. I had a very interesting joke with my pastor this morning. I was just laughing. I don't want to tell you that. Now, see, the devil might be harassing you that he's going to kill you. He's going to kill you. I had that several times. There was a time I used to be very busy in Nigeria, traveling all over the place with local flights. And each time I entered a plane, the devil would say, I'll kill you this time. I'm bringing this plane down. And then I will not eat any of the snacks. I will just be praying the spirit. I'll pray in tongues for 1 hour from Lagos to Abuja, Lagos to Port Harcourt. I will just pray in tongues. One day, I just came to my senses. I said, all the while, this man had been saying, will kill me. This plane has not come down. The next time I entered, they brought the star. I started eating. I said, I'm not even praying. Knowledge came, revelation came, and then everything changed. I trusted God for his word. I said to him, I said, you told me your word that with long life, you will satisfy me. How come the devil is harassing me? Then I went to preach one day and I said the same thing. I said, you know, look at me very well. I'm not going anywhere until above 80. When I get to 80, I look at my teeth, I look at my body, then I decide how many more years I want. Yeah. Because the Bible says, with long life, I will satisfy you. And you know, I was eating yesterday and pastor was giving me rice and then he poured. And he got to the point and said, I'm okay. I decide when I leave, not the devil. Praise the Lord. And then so I went to preach somewhere and the preacher said, oh, pastor, let me say Yoruba, I'll translate to you. He said, pastor, Eramasokini, dear. Say this thing gently. What if it doesn't work that way? I say it always works because the word of God is always true. Praise the Lord. I went somewhere and I told them, I said, see, I got born again in 1999. And from the day I got born again, my sister told me about divine healing and divine health. And 30 years ago now, September, I celebrated 30 years of no doctor, no tablet, no injection. You say, how did you do it? I say, standing on one scripture of the Bible, Matthew 8:17. You know, part of the things that help us in Nigeria is that, of course, you know, there's poverty and medical services are not too good. So nobody's running there quickly. But I stood on one scripture, Matthew 8:17. He said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. He took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. One scripture. And every time the devil comes attacking with malaria, with this pain and that pain, I lift up my hands and I say, Father, on this same scripture as I stand, you are the great physician. And you know one thing about my own doctor? He doesn't give a referral. Any sickness you bring to him, he solves. He's not a specialist, he's a generalist. There's nothing he doesn't heal. Everything. And he doesn't send you abroad, he sends you above. Praise the Lord. Now I'm talking about the same God that is your father. Now lift up your hands, whatever the issues might be. Come on, give him praise now. Give him praise. Just worship him and adore him. Magnify his holy name. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Worship him for that thing you are trusting God for. For with him all things are possible. For with him all things are possible. He's a great physician. He's the one that supplies all our needs according to riches in glory through Christ Jesus. He's the one that promised that he will satisfy us with long life. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Can I have people who can sing? Let me sing now. Come on.